There is our school bell, and with that bell, we welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And we're going to continue in a study that we began yesterday on Jesus stilling the storm, found in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And we'll be concentrating on the words of that text. And so you may want to turn your Bibles now to Mark chapter 4, and we'll be going there in just a moment. First, though, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the superintendent of this radio Bible school and the preacher at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Now let's look at our lesson text, Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And on that day, when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us go over to the other side. That day was the day in which he spoke the parable of the sower and other parables to the very great multitude that gathered about him by the seaside. Pressed by the large crowd, one of the greatest that had gathered about him, he entered into a boat and sat while the multitude stood on the beach. This was a very busy day with Jesus. When even was come, he said unto them, Let us go over to the other side. It says in Matthew 8 and verse 18, When Jesus saw the great multitudes about them, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. He did this for retirement and rest. It was an easy way to escape from the multitudes. The lake was only 6 miles wide, and the eastern shore was not thickly settled as was the western shore. At other times, Jesus crossed this sea for retirement, rest, and prayer. We read about that in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 13, and Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23. He did not enjoy absolute rest, however, and at the end of this journey, for it was then that he healed the man possessed with a legion of demons. And that's found in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. When he returned from this retirement to the western shore, there were very great multitudes awaiting him. See in Mark 5 and verse 21. Now we're going to read something and learn something about the proper use of our possessions. We read in Mark chapter 4 and verse 36, And leaving the multitude, they take him with them, even as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. Well, that's after teaching through the day. At Jesus' request, the disciples took him even as he was in the boat. That even as he was means without further preparation. On other occasions, Jesus sat in a boat and taught. Peter, James, and John owned their boats, and Jesus taught from Peter's boat in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The boat used on this occasion was at the disposal of the disciples and was probably the same one so used at other times. In this boat, Jesus and his disciples returned, Mark 5 and verse 21. Peter's example in using his boat and the Master's calls is worthy of emulation and should teach us a lesson. Our boats, our ships, our cars, our horses, and our buggies should so be used. I want you to notice the reference there to the horses and the buggies. Just remember, this was a Sunday school lesson written for the Sunday schools of October 26, 1924. And these were not the Amish using the horses and buggies, they were still in common use with the automobiles in that day. Going back to this, Elam's notes, it says, "And other boats were with him," that is, boats owned by other disciples or at their disposal. Matthew 8:23 says, "His disciples followed him." In giving the account of this voyage, Matthew tells of the proposition of the scribe to follow Jesus whithersoever he might go, and the proposition of another disciple to be allowed to first bury his father before following Jesus. He tells this as between the command of Jesus to depart into the other side and his entering into the boat. Now that's Matthew 8, verses 18 through 23. Matthew 13:36 also says that after Jesus spoke several parables to the people on this occasion, he left the multitudes and went into the house. This was doubtless the house out of which he went to the seaside to teach the multitudes. It may have been Peter's house in which Jesus had found a home. The marginal reading in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "At home, for in the house." This was probably Peter's house or some house where Jesus usually stopped. Into this house the disciples followed him and asked for an explanation of the parable of the tares. After explaining this, Jesus spake other parables to his disciples. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. Matthew chapter 13, and we read about that in verses 36 through 53. This may not be the order of occurrences, but it may. It would seem natural for Jesus and his disciples to take refreshments in the house after the work of teaching through the day and before starting across the sea. The one purpose, however, of Matthew, Mark, and Luke is to relate the miracle of stilling the tempest and not the order of events that preceded it. Now Mark chapter 4 and verse 37 we read, "There riseth a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the boat, inasmuch as the boat was now filling." On this short voyage, these boats encountered a great storm of wind. Luke 8:23 says, "And there came down a storm of wind on the lake." Matthew 8:24 says, "There arose a great tempest in the sea." This came up suddenly. All travelers describe the storms as very sudden and violent, caused by the cold air that rushes down from the mountains into the heated depression of the lake. This was not a ship. It was a small boat, like a large rowboat, and the waves beat into it inasmuch as it was now filling, and it was in jeopardy. Luke 8:23, Matthew says the boat was covered with the waves, and he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Mark chapter 4 and verse 38. Jesus fell asleep as they sailed before the storm arose. He was the only one asleep on the boat. That the noise of the storm and the rocking of the boat upon the rolling waves did not awaken him shows into what a deep sleep he had fallen, and this shows how weary and exhausted he must have been. This condition was produced by the constant strain of teaching the multitudes and explaining the parables to his disciples. Jesus became thirsty, hungry, weary, exalted, and felt a great need of sleep and rest. What a privilege we should now consider it to be permitted to endure all these things for his sake. The storm greatly frightened the disciples, and they went to him, awoke him, and said, "Teacher, carest thou not that we perish?" Matthew 8:25 says, "Save, Lord, we perish." They were accustomed to the lake and to the winds and the waves. This then was to them a terrific storm to fill them with such terror. While they were of little faith, They knew who to go to for salvation. And so we read in Mark 4 and verse 39. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a very great calm. He awoke and rebuked the wind into the sea. Well, he through whom all things were created spake, and the winds and the waves obeyed him. Jehovah hath his way in the whirlwind, and in the storm. The clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea, and maketh it dry, and drieth up the rivers. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is upheaved at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. That from the prophet Nahum, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. To all the storms of trial and wild waves of trouble which disturb those who trust and obey him, Jesus says, "Peace, be still. Peace I leave with you, and peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be fearful." John 14:27. "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Jesus is on board, and man's his church, and it'll never go down. Daniel 2:44 says, "It shall stand forever." Listen to this little rhyme. "And, when human hearts by storms are tossed, when life's lone bark drifts through the dark, and mid wildest waves where seems all lost, he now is then, with words of power and peace, murmurs stormy deep, 'Be still, still, and sleep, and lo, a great calm comes, the tempest perils cease.'" That's attributed to a poet by the name of Ryan. And so Jesus then turns to his disciples, and after rebuking the storm, he rebukes them. Mark chapter 4 and verse 30. "And he said unto them, 'Why are you fearful? Have ye not yet faith?'" Matthew puts it this way: "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And Luke puts it: "Where is your faith?" The rebuke is the same. The terror of the disciples would have been inexhaustible but for the presence of Jesus. With him in the vessel, it is argued weakness of faith, because the many miracles which he had wrought and should have convinced them that he had power over the winds and the waves. Notice here that fear and faith stand in opposition to each other. It says in Mark chapter 4 and in verse 41, "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" They feared exceedingly, not with such terror as the storm filled them, but in the presence of one whose voice the wind and the sea obeyed, they said to one another, "Who then is this, that the winds and the sea obey him?" Notwithstanding all of the miracles which they had seen, Jesus performed the one that filled this one that filled them with wonder and awe. Since God had gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap, he layeth up the deeps and storehouses. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Why should they marvel that the Son of God stills the tempest? Jesus worked every variety of miracle to leave even the weakest in faith no room to doubt his divine power, or that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the end of this Sunday school lesson. And as I look on the other page opening, the next lesson is a temperance lesson about the prodigal son. And we'll be studying that when we gather together for class again tomorrow.